Today I will be reading Jeremiah 6:16 from the New International Version. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it.
Good evening. It is a pleasure to be here with you this evening. I want to thank the elders and your minister for allowing me to stand in his stead and to preach to you the gospel. It is our endeavor to say those things which are found within God's word and that only, and to not speak from my opinion or my thoughts, but to only speak God's holy and divine word. This is the first time I've been all the way out here. This is a long drive. When I agreed to do this, I had no idea it would take my wife and my family an hour and 15 minutes to get out here. But we made the trip, made it here safely. So we're very thankful to be here in your midst. Tonight, we're going to be talking about ask the old path or for the old path. I want to start off by saying, giving you a little bit of a story. I wanted to learn how to swim. And my father, I thought, would be the one to teach me how to swim. My father taught me many things in my life. And so when I asked my father, Dad, I want to learn how to swim, he said, sure. My father did not teach me how to swim. He actually drove me around the corner to a neighbor's house. And it was Mr. Williams' house. He told me to get out and go to the back. It's kind of weird and strange to me. Never been to this person's house, and my father told me to go around to the back. I went around to the back, and I saw this huge swimming pool. And there was a big man with a whistle, red shorts, very tight to his body, and a white shirt, looked like a coach from the high school in the old days. And there was a line of about 50 kids, 50 guys, about my age. And I got in line. I was the last one. And the procession started, kind of like this. Jump! And he was telling the first kid to jump into the water. And he said, swim to the other side. And that kid did not jump. And so he blew the whistle again. Jump, swim to the other side. Kid didn't jump. So you know what the coach did? He pushed him. Swim to the other side. And that little kid swam with everything he had and all his might and got to the other side. I looked at the long line and realized, I'm about to do that. And each kid, as they got closer and closer, some of them got the idea. When the whistle blew, they just jumped. Some kids didn't quite get it. So when it was my turn, I got to the edge of the pool. He said, jump. All my might, I just couldn't get off. I knew he was going to push me. He blew it again, and he pushed me. And I promise you, I swam as hard as I could, swallowed half the swimming pool, but I got there. Came out successful. And I was so happy I did that. But then I heard again. What had happened was everybody had run around, got back in line again. So it was going to be a repetitive process. It was a way of learning how to swim. And that was his method. Nowadays, they don't do that. If you were to do that, they call defects on you. What they do now is a systematic process. They try and get you to learn very gradually, and so we don't hurt your feelings, and so you don't drown, that type of thing. I kind of wish we would go back to those days when you would just simply push the kid in the pool. Why? Because they had to struggle. They had to fight. They had to learn that there is a struggle in life and everything's not always easy. In our text in Jeremiah, he's asking for them to ask for the old ways again. In the world in which we live today, there is a philosophy permeating the thinking of most people that suggests that everything old needs to be replaced or updated. This concept is also true with the purveyors of religious theology today. They believe that everything is outdated and requires change or alteration to meet the crisis that prevails in today's modern times. One of the problems with this reasoning is simple. The nature, the need, and the quality of mankind is still the same as it was after God created him. And the problem will always be the same. That problem is sin. Indeed, mankind still needs to find a way to reach his creator, God, so that he might find out what is needed for acquiring a good relationship with him. The prophet Jeremiah had one of the most difficult tasks in the history of Israel. His divine assignment was to admonish the citizens of Israel to return to the Lord from whom they had wandered. The nation was languishing under the threat of impending Babylonian captivity, and repentance was the nation's only hope. The God of heaven was going to visit them, and he was going to cast them down, Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. This was a time of religious and social turmoil. The nation of Israel was being pulled in many, many directions. The Old Testament was written for our learning, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. In Jeremiah's day, the Lord wanted to offer them rest for their souls, Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. For where is the good way, and walk therein? Ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Using the imagery of travelers who have lost their way, the Lord asks them and tells them, please ask for the old ways. In our verse, the word old is from the Hebrew word olam. It means forever and everlasting. And so he's asking us to seek for the everlasting way, so that when we find it, we will always be found going in the correct direction. That path we're looking for are the old ways. I don't know about you, but I've seen some things change in our world far from the old ways, and you're trying to make them the new, better ways. I got spankings when I was growing up. Whenever I did something wrong, my father would spank me. Nowadays, they want to put you in timeout, let you think about it, send you to your room where all your toys are so you can think about the bad you just did. For some reason, they've said spanking is outdated, that we've gone past that, we've progressed that. In fact, this is 2016. We don't need to spank children anymore. Here are some comments about spanking. So often, children are punished for being human. Children are not allowed to have grumpy modes, bad attitudes, disrespectful tones, or bad days. Yet we adults have them all the time. None of us are perfect, and we must stop holding children to a higher standard of perfection that we can't attain ourselves. Wow. We should let them have disrespectful tones. We should let them have bad days and moody days. Another quote, tantrums are not bad behavior. Tantrums are an expression of emotion that becomes too much for the child to bear. No punishment is required. What your child needs is compassion and a safe, loving arm to unload all the emotions in. Don't spank your child, hug them. When your child does bad, just hug them. When your child disobeys you, just hug them. When your child throws a tantrum in the store, just hug them. My Bible tells me to spank them. Things are trying to be changed, We're trying to get away from the old paths to these supposedly new paths. The Bible says, as for the old paths in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, now that we're closer to the judgment than we've ever been in time history, the pungency of the Bible-based sermons are disappearing at an alarming rate and being replaced with the so-called love sermons. What we mean by that is we're replacing it for losing the accountability of man. We want to say, love each other, love each other, love each other, love each other, love each other. All we need is love. In fact, what we need is old-time preaching, old-time gospel preaching. That's what we need. We need to go back to the basics, to where God has a place in everybody's heart. You may have said that you can remember when there was a time when this happened and when that happened. I can remember when moms were at home while dads went to work, and children played outside all day long and had to be home before the lights, before the street lights were out. I remember when you knew all your neighbors, and not just the ones on your street, but all the ones on your street and around the corner. And grown people could put you back in your place and even spank you. I remember when families met the boyfriend before the first date, and when he picked you up, he came to the door like a gentleman, and he honored the curfew policy. I remember when men tipped their hats to women or removed their hats upon entering a building and out of honor for both. I remember when parents sided with the teachers and students were reprimanded for disrespecting teachers. We didn't have metal detectors in school, and the police officer only came to school for career day. I remember when children would behave and say yes, sir, and no, sir, and the parents not only expected it, but they demanded it. I remember when elderly people were respected. I remember when the elderly were respected. Profanity was wicked, drugs were for illness, and divorce was rare. I remember when crime did not pay, hard work did, and people knew the difference. I remember when the flag was honored, America was beautiful, and God was welcomed. I remember when men looked like men and women looked like women. I remember when men married only women and women only married men. I remember when one felt shame for having babies out of wedlock. I remember when sex was before marriage was frowned upon. Abortion was not legal, let alone even contemplated as a viable option. I remember when the Bible was read in public and prayer was in school. Preachers unapologetically preached heaven and hell. A heavenly walk was encouraged, and they tried to frighten you out of hell. The new birth meant a changed life. Salvation meant a sanctified life, and following Jesus led to eternal life. I remember when laws were based on the Bible. Homes read the Bible. Churches taught the Bible, and the people of the nation actually believed in the Bible. I remember those times. Those are the old paths that we're leaving and forgetting and putting to the side. Jeremiah, he wants us to remember those old paths. In fact, he wants us to ask for them. Where is the good way? In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, there are many paths that men follow, but not all the paths lead to the good way. In this case, the old paths lead back to the law of Moses. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 22, verse 22 to 24 says, for I spake not unto the fathers, nor commanded them the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings and sacrifice, but this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Jesus pleads with us today to walk in his path, to walk straight, to strive to enter into the right path. Luke 13, verse 24 says, strive to enter at the gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. This path has a gate that is narrow and not easily entered, where there is only one way to the Father. I submit to you, there is but one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you and for me. He provided a way in which you can be saved, and his way, his path, the old path, is the only way in which you can be saved. A lot of people are looking forward to going back to those old-fashioned values. I submit to you that the oldest value on the planet is found within Holy Scripture. From the very beginning, God gave a path to man, a path that he could not and should not fall away from. I want to give you two examples of how man has strayed away from the path, and the sermon is going to be yours for tonight. Go, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. There's a pattern set forth in Genesis that you can see and believe in as being truth and not false. Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse number 10. God called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering of the water seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed bearing plants, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. There are two phrases found there in that verse that are key to us that talk about a path that God has set forth. He says that the fruit will produce what? After what? Its kind. And where is the seed? In itself. Those are two patterns, processes, paths that have never been strayed from. You go to an apple tree, pull off an apple, bite into it, what's inside of it? You can answer that question. Seeds. There are seeds in the apple. If you take the seed out of the apple, put it in the ground, you're going to have an orange tree grow, correct? I'm sorry, a lemon tree. I'm sorry, a grape tree. No, you're going to have an apple. An apple tree is going to grow because the seed is in itself. Now, when man comes in and he does his thing, he messes it up every single time. You take a donkey and a horse, you put them together and you get a what? A what? A mule. Some young people don't know what that is now. That's an old path. You get a mule. What's very interesting about the mule? He can't have any babies. He's sterile. Why? God never created the mule. Man came in and made it two created beings together and made something, but it can't reproduce. What's going to have to happen if you want another mule, if that mule dies? You're going to have to find another donkey and another horse and make them a path, a pattern that's set. It's set there for everybody. So you take that same process, that same thought process, if you will, put it in the human world. Man and woman, God made man, he made woman. He made male, he made female. What happens when a male and a female get together after marriage? Babies come. Other human beings happen. But then society wants to change that process, change that pattern, and put a man and a man together and a woman together. Well, if you put the man and the man together, what are they? They're just like the mule. They're what? Sterile. The woman and a woman, just like the mule, sterile. You can't go any further. I submit to you that if you want to be that type of person, if a man wants to be with a man, I submit this to you. All of you get together, come together in one group and go to an island and live the way you want to live on that island. And I guarantee you inside of one generation, you'll all be dead. Or the other side of it, woman and woman, get all of you together, go to an island, live the way you want to live. Inside of one generation, you'll all be dead. But the God of heaven destroyed earth in Noah's time with water, and there were 8 people left. Guess where we came from? Those 8 people. Because they engaged in the proper path that God had put forth. And guess what happened? They populated the world the way God wanted it to be populated. So you see, we go to Genesis, verses 12. The earth brought forth vegetation, seed bearing plants according to their kind, and the seed and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. Then you flip over to another verse. Go to verse number 21. So God created large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kind. Down to verse 24, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and creatures that crawled on the ground according to their kind. Then flip over to verse 29. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the earth, entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed, this food will be for you. It contains the seed within it and is going to produce after its kind. So in these short few verses, we've taken evolution, shot it in the foot, shot it in the head, and it's dead. Because evolution says animals change into different kinds of animals. They even go so far as to say that you and I came from apes. But your Bible and my Bible tells us that the only thing that's going to happen is a human will produce only one kind, and that's after its kind, another human. So when you talk to your friends at work, when you talk to your friends in your neighborhood, and they talk about evolution, please show them what they can see. That things produce because the seed is in them, and they produce after their kind. And God said it was so, and it won't change ever. You cannot get a dog and put it with a cat and get a debt. You cannot do the opposite. You can't put a cat and a dog and get a dog, get a cog. It just doesn't work that way. Things produce after its kind. And if you happen to see a big Great Dane dog, my family has a miniature schnauzer dog. Guess what? Yeah, one's big, one's small. One's got a little stubborn attitude, one doesn't. But guess what? They're all dogs. They're just varieties of dogs. Doesn't mean that the dog decided, you know what, I'm tired of being big. I'm going to be small next year. No. Men are to be men. Men don't get to change the way they look so they look like a female. I don't know about you, but if you go back to your biology book, the first one you got, last time I checked, a man had a chromosome of X. Let me try that again. The man has a chromosome X. Y'all don't know y'all biology? See, you're looking at me going, is it XY or is it XX? Which one is it? The man has XY. The female has XX. You don't get to go then and say, I'm going to be XX today. No, no. God made you. He made male and he made female. We cannot let the world decide for us what the process is when God's already given the process. We don't get to change it. The world has already tried to change salvation. There are those who are preaching that all you have to do is believe and you're saved. When Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But then they'll look at you and go, no, just believe. It looks just like Adam and Eve. God said, if you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. Satan came along and added one word. He said, you shall not surely die. Man is doing the exact same thing. Sin is his problem. God has provided a way to solve the sin problem. We as Christians, the New Testament Church of Christ, we must be willing and be bold enough to tell people that if your minister has told you that all you have to do is accept Jesus into your life, accept him as your personal savior, and you're saved, we need to tell those individuals, you need to examine God's word and let's talk about it, because that can't be found in scripture. Most individuals have been taught something their entire life and never once questioned it. When was the last time you questioned your mama about something and it was okay? When was the last time you questioned your grandmother about something and it was okay? Well, when they're taught religious things, they tend to believe them because they trust their family. And I'm saying you need to have them challenge what they've been taught. If not, they will consider this path the path, when in reality it's not even close to the old path that God set forth. The Bible says you must hear the gospel. You must repent of your sins. You must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you haven't done that, if you haven't done that process, if you haven't followed that path, then the only path that's left for you is that you're still counted among the lost. It is a sad thing, a very sad thing, when the world has decided to go against God's law and the people who follow his law won't say anything. You and I must say something to them. We must challenge their belief perspective. Everyone has a perspective. You know that, right? Everyone has perspectives that are not bad, and then there's some that are bad. As an example, if you go to my house and you go to the bathroom, the toilet paper rolls one way, top to bottom. If I go to your house, it probably goes from top, bottom to top. I don't know. That's your perspective. How you run your house in that aspect, that's up to you. Whether you like your grits cold or hot, I don't know. Whether you like your macaroni and cheese, cold or hot, I don't know. Whether you like Coke or Pepsi, I don't know. But that's your perspective. And you can have your perspective on those things. But the things that are religiously speaking, you can't have your own perspective. It has to mirror God's perspective. I was talking to an individual Saturday in a Bible study that lasted 3 hours. I asked him, if we all teach from the same Bible, if we all worship the same God, why are there so many different churches? He said, you know, I've been asking myself the exact same question. He said, why in the world do some churches take communion on Sunday, once a month, semi-annual? Why is there a difference in that? And when I showed it to him, you know what he said? I see what you're saying. Really, I see what you're saying, but I can't see us doing that as a community and as a nation, doing it all on Sunday, every Sunday. I just can't see us doing it. I said to him, if God commanded it, it can be done. You have to choose to follow him. It's a choice. And everybody has a choice in everything we do. As a matter of fact, you chose the very clothes you wore today. You looked in the mirror and you thought, man, I look good. You didn't have a problem with it. You chose it. I chose to put on a tie. I see, sir, you did not. Does that mean I'm better than he is? Does it mean I look better than he does? Well, yes. But once again, it's a perspective where you can have your own perspective. To ask for the old ways, the old paths, means you must know what the Bible teaches. That's the only way you can know what they are. Once you know what they are, you must follow them. If you don't, you'll find yourself on a path that leads to destruction. Tonight, simply want to encourage you to ask for the old paths, to make sure you stand in that way, the good way, so that you might find rest for your souls. Jesus has a way of providing rest. He told us to come unto him, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. We have to obey the gospel in order to be saved. There may be somebody here tonight that is not a member of the body of Christ and you need to be saved. You need to obey the gospel. As I said earlier, you must hear the gospel, believe it, repent, and confess of your sins and be baptized and live faithfully thereafter. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you have strayed away from the body and you've found another path and you need to get off that path and back onto Jesus Christ's path, you can make that change tonight. You can confess, repent of your sins, and come back and be a part of God's fold once again. All you have to do is repent, and God will forgive you. If anybody fits in either of those two categories tonight, would you please come forward as we sing this song of invitation?